You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the show that's going to be super good today, you guys, I swear. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
Hey everybody, thank you all for tuning in this week. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first let's talk about some things we've been checking out. And Josh, you ready to carry the show, buddy?
let me get the GDEX talk out of the way.
Oh yeah, go for it.
I mentioned this last week, but it's still relevant now, and as this airs on the radio at least, mm-hmm. You'll be able to see me and the game I've made at GDEX at the Columbus Convention Center on Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, what is GDEX?
The Game Developers Conference. They'll have tons of indie games you can try that people have made, talks with people in the industry, that kind of stuff.
Very cool. Now, is there a cost to get in, or is it like free to the public?
It costs to get in. I couldn't tell you how much because I had to pay the exhibitor
gotcha
fee.
Sure. True. Yeah, good point.
I don't think it's ridiculous. It costs like what a regular con would.
You know what, if only there was some kind of internet device,
some sort of information machine
that I could look it up.
TheGDEX.com.
Yeah, let's see. It is
the 29th and the 30th of September, and it costs
$40 for Saturday, $30 for Sunday, or a weekend pass for $65.
And it's worth the price of admission. I went last year, and it was a lot of fun. You get to play a lot of cool games that you probably wouldn't even hear of otherwise.
Yeah, I remember you going last year. So yeah, that's cool. That's very, very cool. Yeah, good luck with it, man. I hope a lot of people check out the game.
It's called Believe Psychic Paranormal Adventure. It's about a paranormal investigator that gets abducted by aliens and given psychic powers and has to close a bunch of dimensional rifts that are causing chaos.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. No, seems really cool. I haven't gotten through the demo you sent me. I have been swamped, but I started it.
Did it at least run?
It at least started.
Okay.
So far, so good. But yeah, no, good luck with it, man. It's going to be excellent.
I hope so. I've been high level anxious about it for the past month and a half.
Yeah, yeah.
Working my butt off on this.
You've put in a lot of work on
I've
that.
I've made
yeah, I
know. New business cards for myself.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
I still have to do a trailer video, which hopefully will be up by the time this airs. Also, the game's believethegame.com if you want to check out the website for it. Which the trailer will be there when it's done.
Yeah.
Well, excellent. We believe in you.
Oh. Yes, we absolutely believe in you.
Yeah. Also, I just paid the Steam fee to put it on Steam when it's done. So.
Oh, hey, right on. That's excellent.
Yeah.
Very good job. Very good job. Proud of you, buddy.
Thanks.
But, monetize that work.
Yeah. God knows I've put enough of it in.
So, I have not done much. I started Mario Tennis, which is a game that's been out for months, and it's just been kind of sitting.
But hey, it's gotten a new update recently.
Yeah, yeah, and that's kind of what spurred me to give it a try. And yeah, I like it. It's tennis. It's pretty cool. The controls seem pretty solid and pretty smooth. I'm still having a little bit of trouble getting the timing down on the blocking shot for the power shot.
It takes a bit.
Yeah, that's been a little bit of a struggle, but otherwise, it's good. The story seems simple enough, but...
it's good enough.
It's that's good how enough, I would, but it works. That, yeah.
That's how I would describe the entire story mode. It's good enough.
Yeah, yeah. It's like set in a variation of the Mario universe where everyone's super into tennis.
Yeah.
I like being really petty and breaking people's rackets.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, that's how I win most of the matches.
Especially in some of the later single-player matches, this is the only way I could ever win, is just by brute-forcing people's rackets to break.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There's a fight against Boom Boom that just took me forever, and I just had to brute-force break his racket to get past him.
Nice. Beyond that, really haven't done much of anything. Rewatched an old movie called Airheads.
Oh man, I love that movie.
See, that's the thing. Either people have seen it and love it, or you haven't heard of it at all. Because it was one of those like Comedy Central like movies that they got for cheap, so they played it all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And yeah, going back and rewatching it, I forgot how many like big name celebrities ended up in that, because it's a comedy. It's a old Brendan Fraser vehicle back when during the Encino Man or like George of the Jungle era.
I would say it's probably even before that.
Probably.
I mean, Encino Man's probably accurate, but yeah, definitely probably before George of the Jungle. Mm-hmm.
But
pre-mummy.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Pre-mummy. Pre-mummy paunch. Even. Yeah.
I forgot all about the existence of the movie. Of course, I haven't seen it, but I read the back of the box and it sounded really familiar.
Yeah. No, it's really, really good about these three guys that pretty much take over a radio station and hold it hostage so that they can play their demo tape.
Yeah.
But no, it has like, you know,
Chris Farley,
Steve Buscemi, Adam Sandler in a rare non-screaming and non-lead actor role.
Non-screaming.
Yeah.
Non-doing that voice.
Yeah.
You know the one.
You know the one. He does the other voice. You know that one.
The punch drunk love one?
The one that is in Billy Madison where he's not screaming. The dumb one. The one where he's talking about the penguin.
Stop staring at me, Swan.
That's the one. Yeah. There's Ernie Hudson.
Shampoo's better.
Yeah. but no, Ernie Hudson's in it. Harold Ramis shows up for like a half second, which is pretty cool.
Like you do.
Yeah.
Like that Dan Aykroyd cameo in Casper.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the priest from SNL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Father Guido Sarducci.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, it just has a ton of guests, like
mostly SNL people.
A lot of SNL people, yeah.
Who all worked together.
Yeah, yeah. But no, it's a lot of fun. Really, really cheap. You could find it at like Half Price Books for like a buck or two, probably.
They'll give you a copy as you walk out the door. They'll be like, please take this movie.
Hey, I like that movie.
We have so many of them.
Yeah.
I like that movie.
I like Half Price Books.
Well, I do too. Yeah. The one on Layton Avenue is fantastic.
Yeah. And, you know, watching that kind of put me in the mindset of, you know, do you remember like some of the old Comedy Central movies that they would play on repeat?
Because,
like, what was it?
Half Baked.
They played it a lot. Scorched. Bottle Rocket, the first Coen Brothers movie. They played a lot.
Scorched is an underappreciated film.
Now, which one was that?
It has John Cleese and Rachel Lee Cook.
That's the one, yes. Where she played like a girl who loved D&D, and she had like
cool goggles, and a scooter.
Yep, that's. You could tell what part of that movie like left a lasting impression on all of us.
I've never seen that one.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, they played the Money Pit a lot.
They played the Money Pit. I love the Money Pit. It's actually a really, really good underrated Tom Hanks movie.
Everybody knows the best Rachel Lee Cook movie is Josie and the Pussycats.
Well, of course. Yeah. Of course.
That's a real, at least last time I saw it, that's a real good movie. It's a real fun.
Taken at face value, it's kind of dumb, but if you look at it like the way they made it, where they're making fun of all the product placement and everything, very, very good.
The best pre-Riverdale interpretation of those characters.
Oh, yeah. Agreed. Yeah, no, that's it. That's all I got.
You remember Empire Records?
Yes, I remember Empire Records.
Never seen it.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. Was it High Fidelity? The one with John Cusack?
And, yeah.
Jack Black was in it.
I heard they're doing a remake, a gender-swapped remake of High Fidelity.
I mean, okay. I mean, the only thing people really remember about that movie is the standing outside with the... No, that's not the one with the boombox.
No, that's Say Anything.
That's Say Anything.
Which I haven't seen.
I'm getting my John Cusack movies mixed up.
I mean, they all kind of blend.
They all kind of blend. You know what?
I heard his character is kind of a knob in High Fidelity.
He is kind of a knob in High Fidelity. You know what? This is not a joke. This is not a goof. One of my favorite John Cusack roles is in a romantic comedy called America's Sweethearts. And I'll tell you why.
Oh, I know that movie.
Yeah. The whole movie is set. It's Catherine Zeta-Jones and Julia Roberts and John Cusack. And Zeta-Jones and Cusack were a married couple that were like movie stars. And they did a bunch of like really cheesy, like super bad romantic like movies or whatever.
Yeah.
And they had a divorce, but but they have one movie. Both of their careers are kind of on the downslope, so they have to do like this press junket for like this one last movie that they starred together in. And John Cusack has had like this mental breakdown, so he's like basically doing his best Nick Cage impression. So it's like, you know, you have Zeta Jones doing this, you know, and Robert's doing like the romantic comedy thing over here on the side. And John Cusack is over on the other side, like being a complete nutcase and like, like just like going from quiet to screaming. And like it's legitimately funny. It's a good movie. I enjoyed it. Plus the movie that's in it that they make fun of is basically Time Cop, but cheesy.
It's wait. Time Cop wasn't cheesy?
Well, romantic cheesy.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
it's
yeah.
The Lake House.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But no, yeah. I don't know how we got to this point, but here we are.
I used to hate Nick Cage, and then I saw Vampire's Kiss, and now I love Nick Cage.
Yeah. I have heard nothing but good reviews about his newest movie. Have you heard anything about Mandy?
Mandy? Yeah, I want to see it.
I really do, too. It seems like bonkers ridiculous. Like the first half is like a serious like horror kind of, you know, movie, and the second half goes into like gonzo revenge, like basically becomes a cartoon.
Nice.
Almost, from what I understand.
Yeah, I want to see that.
Yeah,
I haven't heard anything about it.
Oh, super good. I've seen a lot of screenshots as well too, and it's like a lot of really oversaturated color and like bright neons and stuff like that. So
kind of like a Dario Argento movie?
Like Suspiria.
Yeah, a little bit like Suspiria. Yeah.
Which they've recently remade. I wonder if that's any good.
It might be. It might be.
I don't know why you need to remake Suspiria, but...
But, I mean, they're remaking everything else. Yeah. They might as well.
Right?
Yeah.
Which I have seen, Suspiria.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, it's really good. Sorry. Yeah.
I don't remember it very well, though. I think it was one of those where I was like half in and out on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You watched that last year for your 31 days of horror movies in October, right?
No.
No? I thought that was one of the ones that you did, you and Sam did.
Nope.
No? Okay. Well, okay.
I don't know if we're going to do that again or not. We'll see.
Yeah.
It's coming up.
It is. Very soon.
Got more Annabelle movies to watch this time.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, fun.
Bleh.
Yeah.
In the Annabelle extended cinematic universe.
You know what? It's the only non-Marvel cinematic universe that has had any modicum of success, if you think about it.
It's true.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the Universal one's dead.
Oh, God, yeah.
The DC one's on the ropes.
I think they want it to be an extended universe about those that Exorcist couple that are a bunch of bullcrap. But really, the real star is Annabelle.
Oh, yeah. The real star is the haunted doll.
Plus, she is literally the thread that holds all those movies together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
those
without a
dumb,
doubt.
Dumb, stupid movies.
Okay, Josh, please take us away from all of this ramble.
To ramble half the time period here, so yeah. you take the rest.
Yep, we are handing you the wheel. Good luck.
Oh man, I hope it's not dark because I have a hard time driving at night. So let's see here. Let's get the Netflix stuff out of the way.
Do it.
I'm 3 episodes into The Dragon Prince.
Hey, that's about how far I am into The Dragon Prince. I forgot that I watched it.
Hey. For people who don't know what The Dragon Prince is, it's a Netflix original series done by the people who created Avatar The Last Airbender.
I was going to say it looks like Avatar The Last Airbender.
A little, but it's more CGE.
It's like that low FPS CG that I kind of don't like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sometimes the frame rate drops really weird.
Yeah.
And so everything looks kind of off. Like the characters' movements look weird.
You got to get used to it.
Yeah. I mean, the story-wise is not bad, and the voice acting is not terrible.
Yeah.
Everyone seems to have, like, distinct accents. I mean, it's all right. I'm not terribly deep into it, so I'm really not, like, there. I binge-watched the entire series of Hilda.
What is that?
Hilda is a series they have on there that is based off a graphic novel series of the same title about a little girl that lives in... Well, it starts off, she's living in the wilderness of an area that seems very much kind of like Norway. A lot of the creatures and stuff they run into definitely stem from Scandinavian legend.
Okay.
Giants, trolls, things like that.
Yeah.
Elves. You know where most fantasy gets their monsters.
Sure.
But her name's Hilda, and she loves living in the wilderness. She's befriended all these beings, people, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then her house gets stepped on by a giant.
Oh,
that's so unfortunate.
So her and her mom have to live and have to move into the nearby
giant shoe
city. It's a metropolis, I guess, about as much as a metropolis as you can get in that area, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So Superman is there.
Not that kind of metropolis, but it's super cute. The animation is really well done. The voice acting is really great. It's got that kind of whimsical art style, like your Stars or your Stevens.
The Cal art style. Ooh, sorry.
I'm
one of those people now.
It's similar, but it's not. I've looked at pictures of the graphic novel, and I flipped through the graphic novel in comic stores before. It's very. It seems very on point for it.
Mm. That people complaining about Cal art style don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
There's an artist I follow. Her name's Brienne Ducard. She does that RPG webcomic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And people use her art as an example of what they should do instead of the quote-unquote CalArt style. She went to CalArts.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They don't know what they're
a
talking
lot of
about.
People went to CalArts. A lot of your big animation people and artists went to CalArts. It's kind of a big deal. But it was super good. I liked it a lot. A big theme of the series is nothing is quite what it seems. Like, people have, like, these ideas in their heads of how things are. I guess it's kind of hard to explain. Like
kind of breaking the status quo, kind
of? Yeah, kind of. Like, one of the examples they have in the show is there's a wall around the city. And they say that the wall is there to keep trolls out of the city.
And titans.
Yeah, yes. Mm-hmm. And trolls in this are very much like kind of like how they are in Legend is during the day they are stone, and then at night they wake up.
Like the gargoyles.
Yeah.
You know.
More like the gargoyles, less like the treasure trolls. Yeah.
Except they're, you know, more monstrous and they've been known to eat people.
Mm.
But at one point, a kid in the school where Hilda goes to school has a rock collection and does not realize that one of his rocks is a baby troll.
Ooh.
Oh.
Until it wakes up during parent-teacher night.
Oh, nice.
And then a troll outside the city is looking for the kid and finds its way in the city.
And the kid turns out it's Princess Poppy.
No.
And then they all sing
a
popular hip-hop song, and then the Bergens eat them all.
I don't know what the crap you're talking about.
Trolls. It's Trolls. The movie Trolls. Like the Troll Dolls.
Oh, I never watched it because it looked terrible.
Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, I know. I'm
Anna
good.
Anna Kendrick.
You know what? It's not terrible.
It's not the worst.
The first Trolls movie. I saw it in theaters because of the job I used to have. Required me to. And it wasn't the worst. It was fine.
I watched it like on Netflix or something. It was okay.
I mean, if I had a kid, they would probably be into it. And that's there are worse things to watch if you are a parent of a child.
Paw Patrol.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't recommend going out of your way to see Trolls, but
yeah,
it's not bad.
It's not bad. Paw Patrol isn't terrible either. Have you actually watched some of it?
No.
It's for children's entertainment, like educational entertainment. It's okay. Same with the Transformers rescue bots.
I've seen a couple episodes of
that.
That
one's actually pretty good.
I've seen a couple episodes
of that.
As far
as kids' educational stuff goes. And it has continuity between episodes.
Hmm.
And Optimus shows up every once in a while.
Neat.
In like hologram form. And it's pretty cool. Speaking of which, have you seen the trailer for Bumblebee?
Yes, I wanted to talk about that.
Oh, crap.
Wait.
I haven't seen it, and we also don't have it on the board. During the break, we're going to have to...
Yeah.
Anyway, get past all that, to talk about the other thing I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. Hilda is very good. I recommend it. Check it out. It's fun. Watch it. Anyway, the non-Netflix thing I did over the weekend is I went to my annual Keep on the Borderlands event
for my LARPing. You mentioned it last week. We talked about it a bit. How did it go?
It went very well.
Did you LARP good? Did you win the LARP?
Actually, I did.
Excellent. good job. Did you get all the LARP points?
I guess.
Did you level up?
I mean,
is that a thing?
You do level up.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
But it's for attendance points. And whatever class you sign in for attendance, is how many points you get in that class, up to a max rank of 6.
It gamifies actually showing up.
It does.
Which is very smart.
Yes, yeah. And it tracks your attendance. It also gives you access to abilities later on down the road. Now, granted, at events like that, everyone's automatically top level because no one wants to go through the computer system and just look up everyone, see if you're cheating or not. So anyway, they just blanket it and go, everyone's level 6. So anyway, this was a brand new site for us. It was not a bad site. They had a lot of amenities that our old site did not have. Like, really close to my campsite was a bathroom and a shower house.
Nice.
Good.
Which was great.
That's good.
And the bathrooms worked really well.
Good to hear.
So anyway.
No digging holes.
No digging holes.
Pooping in holes.
I've yet to do that at a LARP event.
So you haven't had the authentic LARP experience then?
No. If I want to do that, I guess I'd go to the SCA, but I don't want to do that. Or get my head beat in with a wooden stick.
Yeah, say, SCA doesn't have, like, magic stuff, does it?
No, it doesn't. Yeah. SCA is more...
It's just medieval weapons fighting.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway.
There was a SCA troop at Kent when I went to college there.
Oh, yeah?
They were always in, like, the middle of the commons hitting each other with weapons.
Mm-hmm.
My roommate that didn't talk to me was in it.
And
he was all the time making chainmail.
Oh, nice.
It is very tedious. Let's see. I'm surprised the site did not kick us out.
It's a good way to make a lasting first impression.
Well, there were some things that happened.
Mm.
The first night, a person was removed for assault.
Oh, that sucks. A lot.
That's even worse.
Yep.
Since, you know, the whole point of the weekend is to beat each other up.
Except this was, like, legitimate unlawful assault.
Yeah, that's not great.
Yeah, he assaulted a friend of mine.
That's even worse.
Yeah.
Who was working security.
That's the worst.
That makes it even worse of a decision.
He's banned.
From that.
Yep, he's banned.
So
anyway, let's see here. The site was really nice. Not a lot of car accessibility. Basically, we had to park in the designated parking area and then cart all our stuff to our campsites. Now, I guess on the first night, there were people running around with lawn tractors, basically, like with wagons hauling stuff for like a $5 fee. Mm. Okay. Or you could walk it.
Oh, nice.
Like I did the first, like when I got there. It's a little closer than our old site.
Okay, cool.
It's 20 miles from Chicago.
Have you said what the name of the place is?
Oh, I can't remember the name of it. It's Camp
Onawana, we'll say.
It's got a name a lot like that. It was like Shawnee-wah. Like in the main like area where we had like lunch and stuff, there was like all these like Native American artifacts and stuff all over the walls
cool.
and stuff.
That's cool. Hey, we only have a couple minutes left in this break,
sorry.
So let's hit the highlights, buddy.
Highlights. Let's see here.
I mean, as much as I love listening to parking a car and then walking away and pooping in a hole, we should hit the highlights a little bit.
Okay. I'm not sure exactly what the final count of people was, but there were a lot of people.
Okay.
A lot of people showed up.
Last week you said there's probably going to be over 1,000.
Around 1,000 is about the average.
Okay, cool.
A little less, a little more maybe. Weather was really good. Until it got dark, and then it got freezing for some reason. It was nuts. I woke up in the middle of the night, like, frostbitten, basically. There was a point where we had a woods battle, and, like, there were so many people in the woods, and they weren't letting us leave the trails for it, because there's a lot of things in the brush, I guess. I don't know. And everyone's taller than me. So I really had, like, no shots whatsoever. And then my friend Ryan goes, well, do you want to form Voltron? And he picked me up and put me on his shoulders.
Mecha Shiva, Mecha Shiva.
And I started launching arrows into the crowd.
Nice.
Excellent.
I got shot once in the armor, and then some other guy comes up and mended my armor, and I just kept going.
Teamwork Excellent. Makes the dream work.
Pretty much. It was the best. And then when we had lunch, my friend Woody was like, so what is your guys' fusion name? And then we started singing, all I want to do is see you turn into a giant archer. Oh, that turned into a thing.
Oh, that's good.
That was a good time. That was a real good time. I was enjoying it. That was funny. No one got a picture of it, though. That's the unfortunate part.
That's a shame.
Of all the pictures I saw, that didn't happen. We had a really fun last battle game. Normally we have like the two, they have like two big castle gates they've built for this event. And normally they're at opposite ends of a field. Mm-hmm. But this time they did it as an invasion.
Okay.
Where we had to break through the first gate, capture a bunch of flag points in the middle, and then break through another castle gate to get the last one. And it's a metal and wood door that we literally have to beat open because they put they put wood on the other side of it.
Oh wow!
Oh yeah!
Wow!
People are climbing walls and stuff. It was a blast. So, my team won the first round, the attacking round, in like 15 minutes.
Nice.
We held off the other team when we defended. It took them 15 minutes just to get through the door.
Wow.
Yeah, we were doing a good time.
That sounds awesome.
I bounced an arrow off the top of somebody's head. The only reason I knew it is because I launched up over the castle wall, and instead of not seeing it ever again, it went down maybe about 2 feet on the other side of the wall, and then I watched it bounce straight back up in the air.
Excellent. That's awesome.
I was like, boop.
All right. Well, hey, it sounds like it was a really, really
It was great. It was a really good time.
The most important thing, though, did you have fun storming the castle?
I did have fun storming the castle. They tried to lift me up over the castle wall, and I couldn't reach.
They tried to chuck you over the wall?
They did. Nice. They tried to toss me. Yeah, awesome. Don't tell the elf.
All right. Well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we come back, we'll get into a little bit of news.
Hey, that was Weezer doing Africa again.
Again.
We have reason for it. They just released a video that's pretty cute where Weird Al is Rivers.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a parody of the Undone, the sweater song video.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a cute video. It's all right. Yeah. I like Africa. I like old Weezer.
Yeah, and some I like Africa and some Weezer.
Some Weezer up to a certain era, but I don't know. I wish it was more Weezer-y, honestly, this cover. I wish there was more to like the Weezer end and not just a straight up, because at points it just sounds like
it's just the song,
the original. And at that point, what's the point? But then again, they got cyber bullied into making that cover. So, yeah. Anyway, we're back and we're getting into the news segment of the show like you do. So we actually mentioned before the break that we were going to watch the trailer for Bumblebee. And I mean, that's as good a place as any to start with all this fun stuff. So we just sat and watched the trailer. What'd you guys think?
This is the first Transformers movie I've been excited about.
Yeah, I know, right?
It looks cool. Like, they look right.
Yes.
And I don't really care about Transformers all that much, but this looks cool.
Yeah, they're not all, like, weird CGI...
Metal spaghetti.
Metal monstrosity, yeah.
I mean, they are, but now they have color.
They have color, and they're rounded, and they actually look like... They look right.
Yeah.
Come on. There's no better way of explaining
Starscream
it.
Is red and gray.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't just look like a mess of, you know, machine parts.
And gray.
Mm-hmm. Optimus Prime has the classic design, like the really overly boxy and with like the face V and like all the stuff.
And the voice.
And the voice.
He's always been the voice. Peter Cullen's always done the voice for
Really? Yeah. I thought it was somebody else in the movie.
No.
Okay.
He has.
Nope. Yep. I know in the first movie... Peter Welker? No, that's not right. The guy who was the original Optimus or Megatron.
Welker.
Frank Welker.
There we go. I know he was the voice of Starscream in the first movie.
Yeah.
And then somebody else was doing Megatron.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway.
I'm excited because Soundwave is in it. Soundwave is my favorite Transformer of all time because he's a stupid cassette tape player. And it's awesome. And he looks right. And everything is great. And he opened up his chest. And a cassette tape that turned into a bird popped out. And that is the best.
I mean, Soundwave superior, all others inferior.
Yes.
And there was no Transformers with big wrecking ball testicles.
Right. That's a plus.
Yeah.
It had the sound effect, the transforming sound effect. That.
I mean, they've always kind of had it, but it was more like a remix of the sound.
But this was like the sound
and the fact
from
that
the cartoon.
Bumblebee's finally a beetle again.
Yes, finally. I mean, it had John Cena. Didn't see him coming.
It looks like it's kind of set in the 80s.
Kinda. It's
kind of a timeless kind of thing, but yeah, it looks kind of 80s-ish.
Let's see here.
I'm hoping it's a full-blown reboot of the series and not a prequel to the other bad ones.
But yeah. It really looks like it could go either way.
It could. Yeah.
The fact that we see Cybertron.
Yeah.
And we got, you know, Shockwave. And Shockwave looks right.
He looks right. He has that weird face.
I mean, he was in the one movie and he looked kind of okay, but...
Right.
It was awful. And then Soundwave was a satellite, and I hated that.
Soundwave was a satellite. Soundwave was also a CD player at one point, and it was like that little tiny weird thing.
Which is still obsolete.
I thought that was Frenzy.
It wasn't?
Yeah, that was Frenzy.
Okay, well.
It still looks like a Herbie the Love Bug movie where Herbie turns into a giant robot.
And I'm in.
Yeah, and that's fine.
That's fine. I'm good with it.
Also, the fact that Bumblebee is smaller compared to other Transformers, like he's supposed to be.
He's supposed to be. He's supposed to be just a little bit above human size.
He's supposed to be the sweet boy.
Yep, that's right. So with that, there were actually some, was there one or two other trailers that we watched as well? I know we watched Fantastic Beasts. Was that the only other trailer that we watched for the episode?
I think so. We watched the Death Stranding, but that's a video game.
That's what it is. Well, that's
assumedly a video game.
In theory, that's a video game. So let's talk about those couple other trailers while we're talking about trailer stuff. So Fantastic Beasts 2.
The Crimes of Grindelwald.
Yeah, they did the final trailer for it, and...
It looks cool. It looks good. I loved the first movie, but I don't like Johnny Depp, and this looks like it's all about his dumb character.
Who is the title character.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I didn't watch the first one.
You should. It's really good.
That's what I keep being told, but I just, you know, and I will. I'll see it eventually, and I'll see this one too.
This is from somebody who didn't like the other Harry Potter movies.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't like the other Harry Potter movies?
No, I don't care for them. Like the books, love the books, don't care for the movies. I don't know why.
I just
feels like a waste of my time.
Yeah.
I'm like three Harry Potter movies down, actually.
I mean, I guess I can understand... Maybe if you had the idea of the characters looking a certain way, getting to the movies and having them not be quite that, or, you know, the movies had to omit so much from the books.
That was a big thing for me is like, I read the books and there is a lot of information that is not in the movies.
See, I read up through the fourth book. I got about two chapters into the fifth book and gave up because Harry Potter was incredibly whiny.
Yeah.
The Phoenix is the worst.
I could not get through it.
Yeah, he gets real angsty in that one. Yeah. Luckily, it goes away in the next one, but
it ruined me for the book series.
It took me a couple of false starts to actually get going and finish Order of the Phoenix. That one was definitely the worst.
Yeah, but anyway,
that's the first one with Tonks though, and Tonks is rad.
Yeah, Tonks is pretty rad. but Fantastic Beasts 2, the trailer looks good. It looks fine. I mean, sure, okay.
I like Newt Scamander. He's such a nice guy.
Yeah,
he's just
a nice, cool
guy.
Yeah, seems like the Doctor Who of like the Wizarding World.
Oh yeah,
a little bit.
Very much so. If Doctor Who was really into animals and monsters, then he would be Newt Scamander.
Yeah. Now this one, there was actually a news article that kind of went with this. This movie is introducing a character named Nagini. That should sound like kind of familiar because that's the name of Voldemort's
snake,
big old snake.
Familiar.
Mm-hmm. But the thing, I guess the thing with it is she is working at a like a magic circus basically, and she is a special kind of wizard that has been like cursed, that is like destined to eventually. She's like a natural like.
Animagus, but not
animagus. I was going to say animorph.
Oh, animorph.
Right. But the idea is the more she changes, like she's destined to end up becoming
permanently a
snake. And the more you turn into the animal form, like the less humanity you get.
Mm.
And she is able to change without a wand. So it's kind of...
Well, the animagus were able to change without a wand, too.
Yeah, that's true.
It's kind of like their natural ability.
Yeah. But like...
But it's
the
not
idea
the same.
Is it might be that this woman might end up becoming the actual snake that Voldemort, you know, chills
it
with.
It seems like it.
Yeah.
It also looks like for like a split second we see the Blitz. Like cause they see some more planes flying around.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Yeah.
I was like, what is the local radio station? or not local, what does the Columbus radio station have to do with Harry Potter?
The London Blitz. The London Blitz.
And they start playing a bunch of Buck Cherry and everybody goes home.
Crazy Witch.
Oh, that got me. That's how the movie ends. Oh,
that got me. Oh, right. Yeah.
Got Sam with both barrels.
Yeah, I'm allowed to throw shade at other radio stations on here, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how to top that, so let's move on to Death Stranding. So this is the Kojima video game, I guess.
About Norman Reedus delivering fetuses around in a little pouch.
I still don't know what this is about, and I'm still not convinced this is ever going to be made or an actual video game. It might be a visual novel at this point. I don't know.
But Troy Baker's in it, and he's Troy Baker-ing it up. Really good voice
plays
acting.
Some weird gold face man.
That summons a gold face lion monster.
Yeah.
With a sphinctery mouth.
Yeah, its face is just a bowl.
What if this is an excuse for Kojima to make a visual diary of hanging out with his best friends,
Mads Mikkelsen and Norman Reedus?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a definite thing that it could be.
And now Troy Baker and
Del Toro.
Del Toro.
And who was the female character they had at the E3?
I don't remember.
But she's famous too.
Yeah.
It's either going to be a masterpiece or it's going to be incomprehensible gibberish.
Masterpiece.
Yeah.
We know there's black tar monsters.
Yeah.
That's
all I really know.
There's so many different weird bits to this. I just don't know.
Norman Reedus has a fetus.
Yes.
And he's traveling across different locations, mm-hmm. and there's monsters that are sometimes invisible and sometimes they're not invisible.
And sometimes they're big lion goop monsters with gold faces.
And then there's these weird light backpack thingies they have that flutter.
Yeah. And the babies are a battery or something?
And there's also a baby inside of him.
This is a Neil Breen movie, you guys. All he's got to do is have magic powers from a magic rock.
No, it's a Hideo Kojima production.
true. Good point.
Metal Gear.
Hideo Kojima.
Yeah. So let's keep talking about movie stuff a little bit. We have a couple more movie things.
It's time to slam, and welcome to the jam. I hope this is where you were going next.
This is exactly where I was going with it. Yeah, Space Jam 2 has been announced, and there's pictures. Is there pictures?
There's a picture of a locker, of a set of lockers, and one of them has LeBron, and one of them says Bugs Bunny, and one of them says the producers of the movie.
I mean, cool. It's supposedly a reboot of the series and not a sequel.
Here's the thing. I get what they're doing, and Space Jam was incredibly popular when we were younger.
Mm-hmm.
But also by the time Space Jam came out, one, Michael Jordan was incredibly relevant because he was so big in pop culture.
Arguably because he was playing baseball.
He was playing baseball at the time.
But also the Looney Tunes were still culturally relevant.
Were they though?
Kind of, because
they were on Cartoon Network.
They just started rerunning them on Nickelodeon in the 90s, so they kind of
were. Was it Nickelodeon?
I thought it was Nickelodeon.
It was Nickelodeon?
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought they were on Cartoon Network.
No, I watched a YouTube video of something about the history of Nickelodeon not too long ago, and it was Nickelodeon.
Really?
It was one of the first big animated offerings they did was old Looney Tunes.
Interesting. Okay. Huh. Well, I guess Nickelodeon had Tiny Toons, so I guess that would make sense.
Did they?
No, that was Cartoon Network. No, I don't know. I have no
idea. That was...
Originally, it was Fox.
Yeah.
Originally, it was Fox Kids.
But Nickelodeon had the reruns.
Yes, they did.
Anyway, I just... I don't think anyone cares about the Looney Tunes anymore.
Not really. Now they're just something you put on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
and even then, not so much.
Back then, Warner Brothers still had Warner Brothers stores.
Yeah.
Where you sold Looney Tunes merchandise and Batman merchandise.
Oh man,
Hanna-Barbera.
Oh man, do you remember the ad? I remember the ad for the store that was before on the VHS tape from Batman, mm-hmm. the Michael Keaton movie,
yep.
where it was Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck talking about how great their merchandise is, and all you have to do is call a number and get a magazine for the Warner Brothers store.
Yep.
And I remember going into Warner Brothers stores.
Yep.
There was one at Tuttle.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, man. The place was great.
It was like the Disney store. Batman fans.
I got a Space Ghost Beanie Baby from there, and I still have it.
Excellent. Yeah, I remember all the Batman stuff, and I remember a lot of Batman the Animated Series stuff in there.
Because Batman the Animated Series was amazing.
It was amazing, yeah.
But yeah, I feel like it's just a grab. And
of course it is. The first one was.
Well, true.
It's like complaining that Star Wars has gotten too commercial. Like, it's fine. I mean, LeBron is the new Michael Jordan.
Sure.
Nobody can argue that's not the case.
That's exactly it. And if LeBron wants to throw a little bit of money at a movie studio and make himself a Space Jam.
And be pals with Bugs Bunny like everybody wants to be.
Yeah.
They did recently have that the Looney Tunes show cartoon.
And that was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was all right.
I still never watched it.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's like a sitcom. It's like mm-hmm. Seinfeld with Looney Tunes, which sounds bad. Now that those came out of my mouth, words came out of my mouth, but it's not.
Oh man,
the soup shop from Seinfeld's and Spider-Man.
Is it the Tom's restaurant? I think is what it's called.
Oh, yep. nice.
It with a big close sign across it.
When you get near it, it should be like. I'm not gonna do this.
Or he should just swing up and just say, "Hey, Jerry."
Anyway,
so. Okay, so
was our required Spider-Man game talk.
We had to talk about it a little bit. It's very good. Started watching a Let's Play of it, and it looks very good. So this is kind of a quick hit. Mystery Science Theater announced the release date of Season 12. It's Thanksgiving.
Turkey Day. Which is fitting for Mystery Science Theater. It's when it launched originally.
Yeah, it's very fitting. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait.
Is the Turkey Day Marathon this year just going to be the new episode?
You know, I don't know. I kind of hope it's not.
Yeah.
I hope it's classic episodes, but also you have the new ones. That would be great. I know I'm going to be busy on Thanksgiving, but like the Black Friday when everyone else is out shopping and
I'm at work.
And you're at work, I will be probably eating a very bad pizza and binging all of Mystery Science Theater.
Or leftover turkey sandwich.
Well, that too. Yes. All of that. I mean, all of that. I kind of have a tradition, a Black Friday tradition. It's like bad pizza and jalapeno poppers and
nice.
Like the worst food that I can get because why not?
It's only 6 episodes this time, which is fine.
But if they're really 6 really, really good episodes.
Yeah. Honestly, the last season
had about 6 good episodes.
That too. But it felt really long.
It seemed long.
Yeah. I still haven't watched all the last episode.
Mm-hmm. I will take 6 really solid, tight, excellent episodes a year over 12 episodes any day of the week.
Also, the Christmas one was really good.
That's the last one I haven't watched. I haven't gotten there yet.
The Christmas that almost wasn't.
Yeah, I haven't gotten there.
But then was.
So. Moving on to other quick stuff, PS4, we talked a little bit a while back about the PS4 not having crossplay with other gaming systems.
Mm-hmm.
I guess now it is, but only with Fortnite.
They are beta-ing
it. Yeah, I just read an article a minute ago during the break that Fortnite's just the first one.
Okay. So they're testing the waters a little bit.
So they're open to more, but we'll see what happens.
We'll see, yeah. Cool. I mean, you know, it's
more
finally time for
more people to kill me in Fortnite.
Yeah. Well, it's finally time for Sony to actually kind of open up a little bit.
Play with everybody else. When it gets Minecraft, I feel like that's a big one for the kids.
Yeah. Yeah. let's see. Keeping talking about video games. So Pokemon Go released a new Pokemon, a brand new one, like never before seen. It was during the community day last weekend.
Which I forgot all about.
Yeah. Well, it was Chikorita,
well,
so who cares?
I mean,
cares?
I don't have a Magnanium or whatever it's called. Magnaranium.
Magnaranium. Looks like a brontosaurus with a geranium.
Yeah. I don't have a Magnaranium.
Yeah.
There's your good take on that.
There we go. Thank you for that. I mean, they're all going to stay in, but thank you for that. But no, there was, while you're out catching those little bean sprout looking dudes, there was like this weird thing that would pop up every once in a while, and it looked like a ditto, but it was made out of metal, and it had a hex nut for a head.
And it's got a weird little tail, too.
Yeah, weird little tail. And there was some rumor whether it was like a placeholder for something else, if it were a glitch, if something were to happen, and eventually it was announced that, yes, it is actually a brand new new one that's going to be kicking off the eighth generation. It's called Meltan, which is kind of cool.
Because he's a little metal dude.
Little melty boy.
He's a metal bubble slime from Dragon Quest.
Kind of.
With a nut on his head.
Yeah, yeah, kind of. And he's steel type, but he shoots electricity out of his weird hex nut eye thing. And he is available to be played in the upcoming Switch game, Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, but the only way to get him into the game is if you catch it in Pokemon Go on the phone and transfer it over. That's the catch. That's how they're going to get you.
Hmm.
So that's cool.
There's a very cute little video that they released that's Professor Willow from Go video chatting with Professor Oak. That I'd if this sounds interesting to you at all, go watch that video because it's good.
Yeah, it's very cute and it's very short and it's pretty fun. But it's, you know, Pokemon Go, people are still playing it and it's still fun.
I've been really hot on it lately for whatever reason.
Yeah. But, you know, this is just worth mentioning.
Speaking of just worth mentioning, the internet is real, real hot for Bowsette right now, which is Bowser after he gets that little... We talked about that a couple weeks ago.
The Toadette crown thing.
The Toadette crown from the new Mario game.
Yeah.
Somebody drew a comic where, hypothetically, Bowser would get this crown and turn into... Bowser Peach.
Yeah. Goth. Or not even goth, but like biker Peach, kind of, sort of, a little bit.
Just like tough monster Peach.
Yeah, and people have been going crazy for it.
I've never seen something explode this quickly on the internet before. It's never. Nuts.
It's...
Also, I'm kind of into it. If I'm going to be completely honest, I'm into it. It's cool.
Yeah.
I like Bowsette. And it's also, it's mutated into other Mario characters. There's a Boozette.
Just about all...
I saw a Bombette.
Mm-hmm. A Chompette.
I've not seen Chompette.
There's a Chompette. There's a Thwompette.
I saw a...
Who just has a huge butt and is sitting on Mario.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
A
lot of these things I haven't wanted to see. They've just popped up on my Twitter feed.
A lot of very famous manga artists have drawn
really
this fan character. Nintendo's stock went up a couple points just because of this Twitter rampage.
It's nuts.
I just thought it was worth mentioning because I've never seen anything like it before.
Yeah, I've never seen it like this either.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything quite like this outside of, say, like, Sanic or the stupid Knuckles thing.
Mm-hmm. But that's not a cute girl.
No. And sometimes the Bowsette is not quite cute. I wouldn't say not quite cute. I don't know.
It's always a little cute.
It's a little cute. Yeah, sometimes people draw it way more monstrous.
And, you know, I actually like the kind of more monstrous-looking ones because, you know, it's Bowser.
Yeah.
I like all of them.
Well, yeah.
Except for the creepy ones.
Yeah, there's a lot of creepy ones.
The guy that does Dragon Maid actually did one.
Yeah.
And it's just boobs.
Yeah, that's a lot of them are just boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
I've seen some kind of wholesome ones.
Yeah, there are a few.
Yeah,
of those.
there's cute wholesome ones. It's I don't know. Be careful when you look it up.
Yep. Be very, very careful. Keep the safe search on.
Yeah, safe search on. Yeah.
Don't Google it at work.
Okay, we are pushing the topic a little bit, so let's move on.
We've given this way too much time.
Absolutely. So we have one last thing I want to talk about, and it is pretty big. I think, I mean...
It sucks.
And Cody, you know more about this stuff
Telltale
than I do.
Telltale Games, the game maker, people who make all those great narrative choice-based adventure... They used to be adventure games and they turned into something else. But that's neither here nor there, nor does it matter anymore because they're closing down.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, a couple days ago, they let 250 of their staff go, canceled all of their upcoming projects that aren't Minecraft and Netflix related.
Yeah.
And it's just totally out of nowhere. It took everybody by surprise, including the people that work there.
Yeah, apparently a lot of the people that work there learned about the closure by reading the article about it on IGN, which is kind of a really just a rotten way.
Yeah,
it's like you finding out
you're out of a job.
It's like you finding out that you're out of a job by reading the Marion Star or something. That sucks. So I guess they're keeping a bare bones crew of 25 people to fulfill their contractual obligations, which is
the Netflix Minecraft game.
Yeah, that's it. And
I think it's just a port of Minecraft Story Mode, but you can play it in Netflix.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Which is a good idea, mind you.
Oh, sure.
It's a good idea. I thought they were finishing the Stranger Things narrative game, too.
They are not.
They're not.
Oh.
It is ending. They might be finishing Walking Dead.
Maybe. They don't know.
They don't know.
They said other companies have been interested in picking it up, but it still kind of sucks. Like, if that gets to go on and then people who did work on it before don't even get severance, I mean, is it worth it?
And that's the thing. Yeah. The employees, a lot of them aren't getting severance. Because Telltale, you know, licensed out, worked on so many different like licensed properties like Walking Dead
and
Batman and Game of Thrones and stuff like that, that they were technically freelancers. Yeah, so
they made absolutely zero original content.
Yeah, and that's one of their biggest problems. They spread themselves out way, way, way too thin, and you know, people knew Telltale. I mean, people knew it, and really enjoyed it.
Extremely famous after the Walking Dead first season. That was like Game of the Year over and over again. I think it won an award on one of those TV award shows they do on Spike or whatever.
Something like that.
The story was really good.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
It's one of the few video games that have made me cry. Legitimately cry.
Yeah. So the question is, why did Telltale falter and fall apart ultimately because of that? I think it's a two-pronged thing. One, there's a formula that Telltale made with all of their games where it's
post-Walking Dead,
where it's basically a choose your own adventure, but in order to do the next chapter of the choose your own adventure, no matter what choices you make, they end up having to pretty much for the most part loop back around to the same endpoint. And after two or three games, it's really easy to see the pattern.
It's the same end, but maybe there's a different character standing next to you. Like,
right. I've watched one of the Let's Players that I like to watch while I'm at work, kind of killing time. They did a fail through of the Minecraft version of the game, where all they did was they started the game and set the controller down just to see how many times they had to press a button to progress the story. And they ended up having to press like the button twice in like an hour and a half. The game basically played itself.
That Minecraft game is not their best work.
It's not their best work. And a lot of their stories, while, you know, different properties, kind of had the same issue.
It's always like, decide who lives and who dies. Like, why does every choice have to be life-threatening?
Yeah.
They went all their stories got really dark. Even the Borderlands game, which was really funny, still went like some dark places, and it's like, can't we have a game that's fun again?
Yeah. And the other thing that was a big problem, I'm looking at a graph here that is like the it's the number of people who have bought the game and number of active players on each one of their games, starting from their Back to the Future game in 2010 all the way up to the Batman that came out in 2017. And you know, there's a huge spike when you get to the Walking Dead in 2012, but there's 11 games following that. And combined, the people who bought the games and the active user base combined do not match The Walking Dead.
Oh, it just goes down from there.
They spread themselves so thin. There's like four or five games in like a 2-year stretch where quality dipped, and like
they didn't update their engine.
Yeah,
they didn't change anything. They didn't innovate. And when you don't innovate, people get tired of buying your product.
They didn't innovate, and they saturated the market. Those are the two biggest problems. And, you know, I dog on David Cage games a lot.
At least they're different, and they only come out every...
They're different, and at least they give you a little bit more of, you know, when you play the game through once, you when you finish it, you want to play it again just to see what changes are different. As it turns out, not a ton, although Detroit is the exception. But with these games, the Telltale games, no matter what decision you make, the story's the same.
Pretty much.
Where does Wolf Among Us fall in there?
Wolf Among Us
came out right after Walking Dead, and it didn't do too bad.
It was, well, I mean, it did about a third of Walking Dead.
But Walking Dead was a bonanza, a huge success.
It sold just over a million, million copies. Less than a million people actually played it. It was only beat by Walking Dead Season 2, and then it wasn't even close to touched since then. So, yeah, I mean, diminishing returns like you wouldn't believe.
I mean, to be fair, The Walking Dead, when The Walking Dead came out, was still super popular, like in the...
Oh, the TV show was.
Yeah.
And that might be also a little part of it. People are burnt out on The Walking Dead, the TV series, as a whole.
Honestly, I really loved their early output when they were making, like, actual puzzle adventure games, like the Sam & Max and the Monkey Island.
Strong Bad's cool game for Strong awesome Bad, people.
Yeah, that's the stuff they made that I really liked.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
And when they stopped and went, you know, total grimdark.
Visual novel, basically.
Visual novel, I started to lose interest.
Yeah.
Because I wanted that funny, you know, actual video game.
Yeah. And so... Anyway, I just feel bad for the employees of Telltale. I guess there were people that were had upended their lives and moved to California like as late as of like last week.
I mean I would have. It's Telltale. Of course. They make good. They're known to make quality stuff, but apparently it didn't sell as much as they would have liked.
Yeah, there wasn't a voice actress that was supposed to come in and do voice records like this week for one of the games and did not know about the closure until she read about it.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, they handled the closure incredibly poorly on top of everything else.
They might be in legal trouble about it, actually. Mm-hmm. I read that today.
And the worst part is, if you bought a season pass for some of their games,
you're out that money.
You're probably going to be out that money because it's kind of hard to get your money back from a company that no longer exists. And that sucks.
That reminds me, I need to download all of my old games from them off their website before I can't get to them anymore.
Yes, you do. I need to find a copy of the Strong Bad game before...
I have a DVD of it.
Awesome. Yeah, I might have to borrow that from you. Anyway, with that really super happy, awesome note, we should probably go ahead and wrap up the show. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also find us on social media on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com. Questions, comments, whatever. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV.
That's right. We're also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or Google Play, TuneIn, and just about anywhere else you can find a podcast. You can find this episode and all of our back episodes. We have over 200 of them, and that's not too shabby.
No.
We also have t-shirts. They help support the show and keep us going. You can go to bit.ly/nerdoverloadt. That's T-E-E.
They're good shirts, Brent. I got my Pizza Out one in the mail the other
day. Oh, you did? Did it turn out okay?
Yes, it's very good. It looks very good on green.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Excellent. Good to know, because I need to pick up my Pizza Out shirt as well. So, yeah, just go over there, pick up some shirts. That's pretty cool. Helps us out.
See you at GDEX.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Catch Cody over at GDEX this weekend. And until next week,
pizza out.